said welcome to everyone, express appreciation for your being here today. We say that so often, but again, we say it sincerely. Welcome, and it's just good to get together. We appreciate your desire to be with us very, very much. You received a bulletin. I hope you did. There is an outline of the lesson this morning. You're very welcome to it, to follow along as I go through the notes that I have prepared. See, the title of the lesson comes from the text that was read to us. We're going to talk about a great commission that was given by Jesus. Many times when we have visitors or guests or someone that's worshiped with us for a while, they sometimes wonder, they say, Brian, why do you always, or there's always an invitation extended at the close of the sermon? Even Dennis mentioned, he introduced his number by saying the invitation song will be, and then he announced number 458. People wonder, why do you do that? And well, we're going to try to answer that question a little bit with the text that was read to us. But at the close of every lesson with this invitation, and we sing this song of invitation, this song of, I use a different word, encouragement, or a song of exhortation, because there may be one in the audience having heard the word of God, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God sent his son, and they believe that message, and they want to know, what must I do to become a Christian or to be saved? And so we extend this invitation to come and make that possible, your desire to become a Christian, a member of the New Testament church, have your sins forgiven. So here's the answer to the question, why do we extend that invitation at the close of every lesson? It's from the text that was read to us this morning. I've broken it down into four parts. Jesus said, first of all, he makes a great claim. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all authority. Second, we're going to note that he said, great commission, go therefore into make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then he gives a great charge to those who have been taught and baptized. He wants the apostles to continue to teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And then his closing words are of great comfort. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So at the close of every lesson, we give this invitation because that was the commission that Jesus gave to his apostles or disciples. When you preach the word, extend that invitation or make disciples by having them be baptized and then continue to teach them. So that's the response that should come after a message has been presented. So we extend that invitation or word of exhortation. By the way, this commission is also recorded in two other Gospels. The Gospel not only of Matthew that we have before us in our lesson today, but also Mark and Luke. It's the last chapter, the last words of those books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When we think of last words of someone, especially someone who has passed away or is about to pass away, those last words are important, or at least to us. We want to know, what were the last things they said? Or if we know someone is about to pass away, we want to give them, I want to speak to them at the last. Well, these last words of Jesus are very important. They're eternally important. When we say something is great, I titled this lesson Great Commission. It means if something's great, it's exceptional. It's beyond mere words. In other words, these are significant words. They're last words. They're above the normal. So we want to have some focus on these last words of Jesus. So number one, in your notes, Jesus began by saying, all authority. authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, this is not the only place that this message is presented in the Bible. When Jesus, for example, was transfigured on the mountain, I put these verses in your notes. You know that in Matthew 17, the voice came out of the cloud saying, it is the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Ah, out of all the people who were then living, Peter, James, and John were at the foot of the mountain. And God gives a message. "This is the one that I want you to hear, my son." And the Hebrew writer mentioned a little bit of a historical account. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers through the prophets." Okay? So a little history lesson through the Old Testament. God spoke to the fathers and the prophets and the old law. But then the Hebrew writer says, "But in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed." So as great as the messages were from the fathers and the prophets, God said, "This, my Son, is giving the last words. Hear him." When Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians 1, verse 20, says, "God raised him," meaning Jesus, "God raised him from the dead, seated him at his own right hand." And then the interesting phrase, "far above," he lists some things, "principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named." Well, wait a minute. Now let me say that again. God raised him up, set him at his own right hand, far, far above any principality, power, might, dominion, and name that you can name. He's above all, far above. And not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He's put all things under his, meaning Jesus' feet, and gave him, meaning Jesus, head over all things to the church, which is his body. Jesus has the last and final say in the things that we do spiritually and religiously. He's above all. He made that claim in his last words, "I have all authority in heaven and on earth." That's his introductory claim in his last words. Second, he gave this great commission or this job description to his disciples. Says, "Go therefore, make disciples." Another translation says, "Teach all nations." Make disciples of all nations. How are you going to do that? Those disciples are those that are taught. They are to be baptized. Jesus said, remember, he has all authority. I'm not making this up. Didn't come from me. Jesus said, "I have all authority. You go and teach all nations," or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ah, when you make a disciple, you make a learner. I put this definition in your notes. A disciple is a pupil. A disciple is a follower of the one who's doing the teaching. It means that you become an imitator of the teacher. You're a disciple. You're a follower. And he said, "I want you to make disciples of all the nations." Remember, I said this commission or these last words of Jesus are also recorded in Mark and Luke. Mark makes this last statement of Jesus say in Mark 16, verse 15, "Go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." So this commission is to take the message and make disciples, preach the gospel to everybody. Don't leave anybody out. Then he says, Jesus said to baptize them, those who have been taught. These followers, these disciples, are to be baptized. Now I want to take a look at what Luke says. I put these in your notes too. Luke records this great commission with some added information. In Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 46, and I'm going to read it for you or to with you. In Luke 24, beginning at verse 46, then he, meaning Jesus, he said to them, it is written, thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Right? Now here's what Jesus said. He says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then he said, and you, the audience that he's talking to, the disciples, you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. So tarry in the city of Jerusalem, or wait in the city of Jerusalem, until you are endued with power from on high. And then he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And then it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So Luke gives us a little more information than Matthew and Mark. Now, Luke is also the author of the book of Acts. And Luke records the fulfillment or the commencement of these last words. Now, when Jesus was crucified that weekend, it was in celebration of the Jewish festival of the Passover. In Acts chapter 2, the feast of Pentecost, meaning 50, took place 50 days after the Passover. Jesus' ministry after his resurrection lasted 40 days. Then he is ascended back to the Father, and what we're considering this morning in our lesson are those last words of Jesus 40 days after his resurrection. And he's now in the Gospel of Luke, has told his disciples, you wait in the city of Jerusalem, and I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name beginning in that city. And you wait in that city until you receive power from on high. 10 days later, the disciples are in Jerusalem, just like Jesus had told them to be. Wait here. So when the day of Pentecost was come, 50 days after the Passover, you got the timeline, when Jesus was resurrected, 40 days of ministry, he's ascended back to the Father. Now, 40 days. Now, 10 days after his ascension is the Feast of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So now, all these last words of Jesus are going to start. They have their beginning. Here it is. So Luke mentioned this. Remember in Luke 24, verse 47, I put this in your notes. Jesus said, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name. Well, Acts 2, verse 38. When the people say, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Wait a minute, those were the last words of Jesus. And now they're being accomplished. Then Luke records that Jesus said, I want that this gospel to be preached to all nations in his name. Well, in Acts 2, verse 5, on this festival of Pentecost, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Fulfilled. Jesus also said, when Luke records it in verse 47, and I want all this done beginning at Jerusalem. Well, in the same text in Luke, chapter 24, verse 52, they worshiped Jesus, then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Just outside the city from Bethany, went to Jerusalem. In Acts 1, when Luke writes it and retells the ascension of Jesus, Luke says they returned to Jerusalem. So the disciples are in the right place at the right time. And then Luke said, Luke records the final words of Jesus in verse 49, where Jesus said, behold, I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. All right. So now in Acts 2, beginning of verse 1, it said when the day of Pentecost had fully come, 50 days after the Passover, they were all with one accord in one place, all the disciples. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, anyway, that's what Jesus said. His last words. 10 days earlier. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And it happened. So Jesus gave all of these directions, or in his, the way Luke records it. He said, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. And you wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. 10 days later, the disciples are in Jerusalem. And Peter stands up with the 11. And in Acts chapter 2, when he preaches his lesson, he's preached a message that they crucified this resurrected Jesus. And in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, it says, when they heard that, Peter said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. They heard that, they were cut to the heart. He said, men and brethren, what shall we do? We're guilty as charged. We crucified the Christ. We've murdered the Messiah. Peter said, repent. And that's what Jesus said, I want preached. I want repentance preached in Jerusalem. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. I mean, that's what Jesus wanted preached. I want repentance and remission of sins preached in his name. And Peter said that. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you, he said, to all the nations. They're all there. Every one of you. For the remission of sins. That's what Jesus said. I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. Here they are. When they said, what shall we do? They fulfilled that commission of Jesus that he gave 10 days earlier. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receive the gift of God's Spirit. And then Peter went on to say, for to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, that's us, future generations. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation, verse 41. And then it says, those that gladly received his word were baptized. And then verse 42, the next point in our lesson, we need to continue to be taught. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching or the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayers. And then in verse 47, it says the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Verse 41, those who gladly received his word and were baptized were added unto them. Those were being saved. Last words of Jesus. So again, at the start, people ask, Brian, why do we always extend that invitation at the close of a lesson? Because typically when we present a lesson, it's a teaching moment. And there may be one here, having been taught, wants to respond in the manner that Jesus commissioned. And I'm not going to change it. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So that's what we do. When we assemble for worship, we preach. There may be one here who is convinced, cut to the heart. They say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe the gospel message. I want to repent or turn my life around. And so they're going to say, well, Brian, what must I do?
And so then we add, as Jesus did, repent, and like Peter said, and be baptized. Every one of you, no one's left out of that obligation for the remission of sins. So I don't change. We don't change that. We don't alter it. We don't flip-flop words around. That's the last words of Jesus. They're important. They're of value. One last thing. I saw this in the newspaper. Dear Abby. Lady writes to Dear Abby. Dear Abby, recently had a child with would like join a church for the community and the music. Join a church. Says, I grew up going to one and got a lot out of it. But however, now that I'm in my 20s, I don't believe what I was taught. But I'd like to start going again. Would it be dishonest to start attending church? Signed it, a new mom. Well, I hope Abby says some words of Jesus.
I don't think so.
But you know, people are going to believe Dear Abby more than Jesus. So Dear Abby writes back, Dear new mom, many people consider themselves to be more spiritual than religious. No strive about words. If you're religious, I hope you're spiritual. And if you're spiritual, I hope you're religious. She says, Dear Abby said, I encourage you to select a denomination with which you feel most comfortable. Jesus said, He did not say, go into all the world and let the people choose whatever's comfortable. Jesus didn't say that. Dear Abby said that. But people like what Dear Abby said, so they'll take what she said instead of what Jesus said. So she said, select a denomination, not choose a church approved by God or a body of believers approved by God. Choose a denomination with which you feel most comfortable. Some, like the Unitarian Universalist faith, have no dogma or creed and support, and they support their members in following their own spiritual path. That's Dear Abby's recommendation. Choose a place where you can follow your own spiritual path. Jesus did not say that. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 46, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You don't go your own spiritual path. At least not if you want the salvation that God offers. You love Jesus, you keep his commandments. And that's what he said at the last. A great charge. Teach them to observe all things that I, meaning Jesus, has commanded you. We're not left to attend the church of our choice. Now, it's a fine American slogan, but that's not Bible. That's America. The last words of Jesus. They're important. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. A song of invitation. A song of exhortation. I try to use different words. But there may be one here this morning who's not a member of the New Testament church. You never obeyed the gospel, and by that I mean you have not been baptized for remission of sins. And so we give you time to reflect upon your relationship with God and with Christ. And if that's your desire, if that's your resolve to be baptized for remission of sins in fulfilling the commission of Jesus, we can accomplish that this morning. We can accomplish it any time, Sunday through Saturday. But if that's your resolve right now, while we're here, we can accomplish that. So let's stand together. We'll sing this song of encouragement.